Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Right Here in Mass. Joining us today is Jessica Pelletier, Executive Director of Fit Money. Jess brings extensive nonprofit management, strategic planning, and fundraising experience to Fit Money with over 20 years growing nonprofit, private, and political organizations. She is a longtime youth and educational advocate and promises further expansion of financial literacy across the country, especially focusing on positive financial behaviors starting as early as kindergarten, which led to the launch of Fit Money. Jess, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ashley. So good to be here.
It's my pleasure to have you. Please share with our audience more about you and what you do.
I am the executive director of Fit Money, like you just said, and we are a nonprofit based out of Newton, Massachusetts. The mission of Fit Money is to provide free and unbiased financial literacy curriculum for K through 12 students. And we do that in schools, in youth organizations, and really to anyone who will offer up teaching students this important skill. Me personally, I've been with the organization for just about 4 years. I am a Boston born and bred resident. I grew up actually in the South End. My parents were, and still are actually, they're still going to work at 80 plus years old. they own a business right in the Back Bay. So we always lived very close by. So I have a real fondness for this area. And while I still I still live in Massachusetts. I'm slightly north of Boston now, but love to really focus on helping communities where I grew up.
I love that. And when I first heard of Fit Money, I was really excited about its mission and overall the value that it provides to young children. And so could you talk more about what was the inspiration for the nonprofit being started?
Certainly. So in about 2016, which was a little bit ahead of my time, a group of parents who were often on the sidelines together, watching their kids play sports, came together and really realized that financial literacy was not being taught in our schools. You know, back in the day, probably even before my education, it was thought of as maybe home economics. And, you know, most people learned maybe how to balance a checkbook. And then that was pretty much hands off. And what that, when that kind of went by the wayside, there was no exposure to personal finance at all. And so you were lucky if maybe at 18, when you had a relationship with a bank, you might get a course or two on personal finance. So these great individuals, educators, entrepreneurs, and most importantly, parents, realized that they wanted better for their own kids. And the most equitable solution was to bring financial literacy into every single classroom. We all have a relationship with money, some better than others, and some might have further to fall if they make a mistake, maybe a larger cushion. But at the end of the day, it's an important aspect of everyone's life. So the fact that it's left out of our school curriculums just seems odd. And Fit Money's here to hopefully fix that and address that.
I love that. And I especially love that it focuses on young children, because I think I read on Fit Money's website that money habits start as young as 7 years old. And so being able to have those good habits at a very young age and just be able to grow them and continue to improve them throughout life can do so much for you.
You're 100% spot on, Ashley. So if you think about, you know, how people learn to do things, you know, usually it's the rare person that just gets on a bike and start riding away. Things that are behavioral, things that require a lot of thought, usually take a lot of time to learn. You know, you don't pick up a book in the 11th grade and start reading Shakespeare. You know, you have to a little bit at a time, starting at a very young age. And usually we start to learn to read and do math through games and through fun. And so financial literacy is exactly the same. It is behavioral. Yes, there is a little math, you know, learning to add and subtract, although these days all the apps on our phones do that for us. But really, it's about decision making and understanding that the decisions you make in some cases have consequences, certainly using a credit card. has a consequence, and even just understanding what that is. So we're really doing a disservice if we don't start this as young as possible. You are correct. Research does show that financial behaviors are really formed at the time you're age 7. And by that, I mean, no, you're not a consumer at that age and you're not paying rent, but you're understanding the value of saving. You're understanding putting things off when you make decisions. You're maybe real excited about earning, you know, all the kids out there that are doing lemonade stands. And certainly we learn to share, which is really the early stages of philanthropy and giving away money. So that really happens at that young age. And so Fit Money does start our curricula in kindergarten. You don't have to start there. You know, we'll take it if you're a 7th grade teacher and you say that you want to do this. We have tools for you and we're excited that you're getting started. But for all of those elementary school teachers out there, we would really welcome them into our universe. And we'd love to, you know, get them set up with the right tools.
Amazing. And you made a really interesting point about financial literacy containing decision-making or really focusing on decision-making. Because my first thought was when someone is 17, 18 years old and is considering going to college, that's a huge mm-hmm. financial decision and could potentially leave them with tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. So I imagine that what Fit Money provides through its curriculum and programs helps children and then the later young adults to make the right decision for them at that point in their life.
We do have several modules on saving for college, even thinking about college, what different careers are. We all know that not all careers and employment earn the same amount of money. And so we do have several modules that start as early as, well, like I said, elementary school, really talking about careers and what is out there and how children can participate in the economy. And believe me, there's careers that we don't even know about yet. So it's really thinking about their skill set and what they're good at. But really then going into middle school and junior high school, thinking about that cost of education. And what I also really love is while college is a huge step and an important one for many families, it's also not the only step I think we're seeing today. There is a lot more focus on other types of employment education, apprenticeships and technical education and vocational education, things like that. Or starting work and then perhaps letting your employer help you with those education costs down the line. So it's really just about empowering those with decision-making tools. When you're in a dark room, it's really hard to find the light switch. But if you know where all of the choices will take you, it's a lot easier to then make an educated, informed decision about certainly taking out hundreds of thousands of dollars of student loans.
Absolutely. And so for any school or educator who's looking to implement your curriculum or programs, how would they get started?
Hopefully very easy. We ask the folks just come to our website. It's just as easy as that. We're fitmoney.org, really easy to sign up. And for teachers that might be wondering, you know, how am I going to fit this in my day? Believe me, I get it. There is not a spare minute of time in our school days. So we will work with them to either integrate it into other classes that they have, whether that is math, whether that's social studies or history. But what we did is we created a curriculum that can really be delivered by anyone. So you do not have to be an educator that is certified in personal finance. We work with librarians. Just the other day, we heard from a middle school teacher who teaches culinary arts. And they were given what they said was they drew the short straw and they had to teach financial literacy. So we want to make them feel empowered that their toolbox of lessons and slides and videos is full, and then let them understand and figure out, you know, how they're going to get it into their lives. It's completely free. That's another thing that I really want to highlight. As a nonprofit, we're blessed and fortunate that we have philanthropic funding from individuals, from grant-making foundations, even from corporate foundations, and of course, financial institutions and banks. And so we are able to give away all of our lessons, all of our games, even our technology, our digital learning, completely for free to schools, youth centers, and anyone who's asking for it.
That's really a wonderful offering to have, because I can imagine that might be one hesitancy that people might have is just wondering what the cost is. But once finding out it's free, it's like a no-brainer to take advantage of it.
Well, that was another thing that our board did that I'm really proud to support today, is they made that decision that there could not be a barrier to learning financial literacy, that this would not do anyone a favor if it was only for the few wealthier communities that could afford to have these electives. You know, for us as a society to become better educated and making better personal finance decisions, which really does benefit everyone. For example, today, credit card debt is over $1 trillion. That's a burden that everyone actually faces, in addition to those families who have that debt in their own households. So if one school could get it because they can afford it and the other can't, that's just not serving the greater population. So by making it completely free, it completely eliminates the cost barrier. Teachers don't have to worry about finding a space in their budget. They don't have to advocate it. They don't have to worry that music is going to get taken away because they put this on. And that's really important to us.
Absolutely. And with that, do you have any type of accountability with schools and educators that have implemented it to kind of monitor their progress and see if they have any hiccups that might be coming up?
So as a nonprofit, really the stakeholders, you know, the people that we report back to are our donors. And, you know, they're generous with their treasure. They make philanthropic gifts. So it is our job to tell them, you know, what impact we are having. So our assessments for students that are not mandatory, but we do strongly encourage that our teachers, you know, test our kids and give them quizzes and types of things like that. That allows us on a completely anonymous basis to see the growth in the students, you know, when they develop the benchmark with the pre-survey, and then they finish it off with an assessment at the end. You know, wonderful thing is we're even just building confidence in that, you know, the right. Pre-survey questions might say, you know, I understand how a credit card works. And we get a lot of twos and threes, which is on the lower end. And at the end of the course, we get a lot of sevens and eights, which means they feel much more confident that their spending decisions are going to serve them correctly. To a donor, that's a phenomenal impact because, again, this is behavioral. This is about making choices that might be different from your neighbor, but are right for you. So our supporters really want to know that that is happening in the communities that they're serving.
Definitely. And I love that you mentioned the behavioral piece of that as well, because that's one thing I find so interesting. I've read so many studies about how we learn our money habits from our parents, who learn from their parents. And so those behaviors are passed down. And if you unfortunately end up having bad money habits, then it can be really hard to break. And so that's another great reason why the curriculum and the programs can help to reverse those habits and help to set healthy ones instead.
We're really excited when we see that light in a student's eye because they know they are actually going to get to become a teacher in their home environment. We do work with a lot of inner city schools, and you know, a lot of those kids are from first generation or even immigrant families, and they might not really understand a lot of the kind of economies and money decisions that are being made today. So we do get so excited when a student learns it in their classroom, and then they can take that behavior home and they can talk to mom, dad, grandparents, aunt and uncles about what they learned. And whether that's one of the most important, exciting financial literacy tools is compound interest. You know, if you start saving early, your money is going to grow. You know, right now it's a difficult time in the market. So it's hard to think that it's going to have a brighter day in our future. But the stock market has always gone up over time. And so getting in, saving, preparing for that rainy day, the emergency fund, all of that is so important. And when kids take that home, we do have that opportunity to break that kind of intergenerational cycle of poverty. You know, I think it's something like just under 20% of this population are still unbanked, which means they have zero relationship with a bank. Maybe they're still hiding their money under a mattress, or maybe it's in their drawer, or they're, you know, cash, you know, maybe they're paid by cash. And so it's something that has been ingrained with them and, you know, down from culture to culture. And, you know, again, we don't want to set a value system. We're not here to say that this family is making wrong decisions and this one is right. We just want to educate what the power of compound interest or the protection that a bank might offer or risk management, you know, that we all just have to learn about that just makes us healthier overall.
Right. And so it's ultimately giving the students or the families the tools to make the decisions mm-hmm. for themselves.
Exactly. That's it. Exactly.
I love that. And so one thing I also want to talk about too is if you see Fit Money expanding within a certain capacity to maybe including more offerings or different avenues that you might be pursuing for growth.
Sure. I love that question. So when I started 4 years ago, we were predominantly serving teachers in classrooms. And I actually started January of 2020. So the mission was changed quite dramatically just 3 months later when the entire world had closed its doors. And all of a sudden, it was really difficult to find a classroom anywhere that was still kind of open for business. So what our team did, and I'm so proud of them, was we saw that digital learning, remote learning, or even over Zoom was becoming, you know, the only way that teachers were reaching their kids. And we also saw that students were learning well beyond the classroom. They were maybe at the YMCA for 7 or 8 hours that day. You know, they were learning at different youth centers. And so what we wanted to do was really expand our curriculum to include those digital offerings. I'm a mom. I had my kids home in our living room for far too long, let me tell you. And having them learn over Zoom was a real challenge. And so we were really excited to be able to provide tools that teachers could use that still had students engaged, still had them learning, but doing it online. So those are, we have a certificate, which we're really excited about. It did just get accredited up in New Hampshire, which is one of the states that has recently signed a law to require financial literacy as a graduation requirement. So that's a pilot program up there that we're really excited about. We've been working since I've started to get Massachusetts to sign some kind of law like that. It needs to happen that financial literacy needs to be a part of students' lives. And we are hopeful that we can be a service provider for those teachers. A new product for us that I'm really, really proud of is called our Super Squad. And this is a game-based tool that allows our youngest learners, you know, the K through six students who, again, are so crucial to start this education. But again, like I said, they do it through games, they do it through song, they do it through videos and fun. So we entered that space. We spent about a year and a half designing this game that was launched early this year that really allows that student, that young child, whether they're 5 or they're 12, to put themselves in these situations. Interview their aunt about the difference between an entrepreneur and an employee, or go to a career fair, or open a time capsule to see that compound interest, that time value of money, to do all these really fun things. So we will continue to offer that game, you know, here in Massachusetts, and it's online. So across the country, and continue to support our teachers.
Absolutely. And I love the technology component, especially because a lot of what it sounds like you do at Fit Money works to provide equitable opportunities for people mm-hmm. to all have the opportunity to have their financial literacy. And so when you give access to anyone and anywhere through that virtual component, I think you're giving every person, regardless of background, the opportunity to do that.
So another partnership, if you'll allow me to highlight, which shows yeah. exactly that, is we recently partnered with the Girl Scouts of Eastern Mass. And the Girl Scouts about 2 years ago created financial literacy badges, which are so great. And the Girl Scouts, which is the largest entrepreneurship organization for girls in the country, obviously knows that financial literacy is critically important to that type of skill, to, you know, learning how to manage a business. And so these badges are phenomenal. And troop leaders are usually the educators in a Girl Scout mm-hmm. community. And so what we did is we wanted to give them those easy tools to help get those badges for their girls. So we created kind of a crosswalk between our curriculum that's, you know, done in schools to something that could be done in a 1 hour Girl Scout meeting. And so they go on, they pick their badge, whether they're a Daisy, Brownie, et cetera, what badge they want. And then we've got a set of kind of lessons and videos and games for them. Once they're done having great discussion, the troop leader can then award those badges confidently, knowing that they've met the objectives and they've learned those skill sets. So that reaches almost 20,000 girls across the Eastern Wow. state. And, you know, we're really excited to be able to do that because that is out of class time. But again, it's a crucial organization providing learning for our young kids.
I'm glad that you brought that up because that was one thing I was thinking about is if there are other opportunities where Fit Money might partner with organizations mm-hmm. who aren't in a school system or a part of a school organization.
Being a lean organization, and we are, we use our resources very wisely, very program focused. We know we can't do it all. Mm-hmm. We don't have the kind of budgets that will get us a Super Bowl ad. And so it is about partnering with people that meet students where they are. So, you know, Girl Scouts is a perfect example. We have another great partnership with UMass Pediatrics. We know that patients, you know, young kids and their families spend a lot of time in waiting rooms and pediatrician offices. And so to integrate financial literacy into those conversations, what we did is we put tablets with the Super Squad in several waiting rooms around the Central Mass area. And that just that exposure, just getting the, you know, talking about money between the pediatrician, between the parent, between the child, making it fun, making it not scary, you know, that's a really exciting partnership for us.
Absolutely. And going off of that, it sounds like you're encouraging destigmatizing the talk of money and mm-hmm. making it not so taboo, because I feel like exactly. that's something that prevents people from having financial literacy is that no one will talk about it. And so kind of encouraging those conversations and knowing that it's normal and healthy to talk about it, I think is really great.
You know, I always say when we meet with a lot of teachers, because my academic team, who are former teachers themselves, we do a lot of professional development. And that's the first thing that teachers come to our sessions saying, I have a really bad credit score, or my student loan payments are way too high. There's no way that I could be the one to teach this. And we say, you know, it's okay. Everyone's been in these situations, and you don't have to take out your paycheck and your pay stub and reveal that personal, but it is about a methodology. It is about having, like you said, the tools to understand what your decisions will, you know, will happen for you. And even just what those decisions are. You know, I remember walking onto a college campus, and before I knew it, I had, you know, two credit cards, because that's just kind of what happens. You're very susceptible the minute you turn 18. So just understanding what that tool is, how it even works. I think 51% of students who get credit cards don't even understand kind of how they work. So they don't understand it's a loan. They don't understand that minimum payment is not the suggested amount. So it is just shining a light on this entire system of, you know, money, how we earn it, how we save it, how we spend it. And if you are fortunate enough, you know, how we share it, and certainly how we grow it, because, mm-hmm. you know, that's one of the most important things we can do with our money.
Absolutely. And also too, I can imagine that doing taxes might even be a topic that comes up, because there's almost like no transition period between 17 and 18 and into adulthood. You just kind of go right in. So it's very difficult to navigate these situations that might arise with people simply not knowing how to do their taxes because they were never taught it.
I think that's the part of adulting that people don't like the most yeah. is taxes. What do they say? Death and taxes, the only two sure things in life. So we did really recently, we launched a taxes badge actually through our certificate program, because we heard that a lot, you know, during COVID when we weren't able to see or reach out to students and teachers as much because everyone was, you know, home in their living rooms. We would have kind of a, you know, the digital suggestion box, so to speak, at the end of our certificate of, you know, what else would you like to learn? You know, anything we can do to make this a better course. And 9 out of 10, we heard about taxes mm-hmm. because here in Massachusetts, we all know you can get your working papers at 14. And because of all different things, people not wanting to save, but even just the economy being a little bit more difficult, we do see a lot of 14, 15, 16 year olds in the workforce. And a lot of first time jobs end up being ones that you actually get a paycheck, a pay stub. And so we have so many kids, they're 15 years old, maybe they've made, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 at the grocery store. They have no idea. Do they file taxes? Do they not? Should they? Their parents don't know, because no one talks about it. And good luck going to irs.gov. So there's a lot of information on there, but good luck finding it. So we did that exact thing. We said, you know, here's what taxes are. Here's why, here's the how, and here's, you know, should you even. So we're hoping that that's something that kids and students, especially those that are working, are taking a real opportunity to learn a little bit more about.
Most definitely. And I love that you took the time to ask your people, your audiences, mm-hmm. what they'd be looking for, and then delivering content that will help to provide value in that sense.
Oh, you have to. I mean, that's one of the reasons when our board decided to hire two former teachers to create this curriculum. If we were going to really stand up and tell teachers that we had their back and we knew what they were going through and we wanted to serve them in the best way possible, we really had to hire, you know, people who had done all of those things, that had been standing up in front of, you know, 26, 30 faces looking at them, you know, wanting to learn more. And that's really what makes us who we are today, you know, being completely unbiased. You won't see logos, you won't see credit card applications anywhere. We don't collect, nor do we sell any student data. And it's just really important that we empower educators wherever they are to feel confident that they can deliver this information. And not only can they, but they should, because mm-hmm. this is just part of everyone's life going forward.
Absolutely. And so for anyone who's listening, but might not necessarily be a part of a school or organization who could implement Fit Money, but they would like to get involved or support you in any way, could you share how that would be possible?
Sure. We're always looking for introductions to new school systems. It still is a very grassroots way to get into schools. You know, every principal is like a mayor, every superintendent's like a governor, and they run their towns as they should, very much their own. So anytime we can get introduced to a new school, a new community, we'd love for volunteers to do so. If you're a parent or on a PTO or even just a concerned neighbor. Obviously, like I said, as the nonprofit, we are philanthropically funded. So we do look for folks who believe passionately that this will not only change individual lives, but collectively as a society to have a better education around money. So we would love for those who can and are able to make donations to do so. And then otherwise, you know, just say hello, let us know, take the course. You know, I hear from so many adults even that constantly say, gosh, you know, I really should brush up a little bit on what are all these payment apps? You know, we have a lot of mm-hmm. adults out there leaving hundreds and hundreds of dollars in their Venmo and their Cash apps and, you know, probably realizing that that's not the best way to be using your money.
Yes, I think that's great. And one thing I'd like to ask you is to focus a little bit more on your career in nonprofit management itself, because I know that you've had an extensive career in that. Mm-hmm. So what inspired you to pursue that sector?
Oh, that's a great question. My resume, like many these days, are very, it's more like a snake, certainly not a straight line. But one thing that, you know, really weaves straight through is that, you know, desire to really kind of do good while coming to work every day. I think that adds a special something. You know, we all have to work. We all have to have a job. And so knowing that you can make a difference in the work that you do has really inspired me. You know, for the last, you know, 11 plus years, I've been in a youth education organizations between Fit Money and my previous organization, very focused on catching youth at their youngest, most, you know, kind of bright eyed when it comes to education, and really just letting them learn about life skills, and financial literacy is so important. So I love to do it. You know, it's a very collaborative effort. Nonprofits tend to really focus on the team, on very entrepreneurial spirit, which I do like. And who knows where it'll take me next.
I love that. And for anyone who is currently working for a nonprofit and is perhaps hoping to get promoted to more of a leadership role, what recommendations would you have for them with their career?
Oh, sure. That's a great question. So I started off, believe it or not, in fundraising directly. And I think that's very common. I think those are areas of nonprofits that I'm guessing are almost always hiring, because resource development, as we all know, is integral to to any foundations or nonprofits. We can only do the work we can do when we have the funding to do so. So there are a lot of people out there that are grant writers or giving officers and whatnot. And by building those relationships and being a voice for your nonprofit, I think you're also learning to speak for your for your organization and your cause. And perhaps you're getting to travel with the executive director or CEO and bringing them to donor meetings. So for those out there in fundraising, I always say, I mean, I learned the most from listening to, I had a truly dynamic founder in both cases at Fit Money and at my former organization, and just listening to them speak about the vision and the mission. And I think that really helps as you potentially transition to a leadership role. When you are a leader, it isn't about necessarily executing every single task perfectly. It's about filling the room with the right people who can execute that, you know, who are experts in their field. I am not a previous educator, so I would never pretend to do anything better than my two academic directors who know and breathe education and can be perfectly situated in a classroom. And so I think really just understanding the value of the team and learning as much as you can about what other people do and you know, sitting back and, I mean, being a leader is great when you have the best team, because you just let them shine.
That's great advice. And I can imagine that feeling incredibly passionate about the why or the mission behind the organization goes a long way as well.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you know, I think of there's millions of nonprofits out there, all with wonderful causes, but you have to be able to speak in your own voice. You know, there are causes that are not on the top of my list. Let's just say, I don't think that they're not, we shouldn't be doing them, but they're maybe just not, I'm not as passionate about. And so it would be hard to, you know, go out and fundraise for them. It would be hard to, you know, do interviews like this and really get animated about them. So I think you have to be able to speak in your own words about your mission, your vision. You have to be able to be convincing. And because it comes across, look, for those that are working in for-profit, if you're doing sales and you're selling a product that maybe you don't like to eat or drink, that's a real challenge because you don't like it. And so it's hard to sell it. So it's the same. It's the same with nonprofit. If you don't believe, if you can't see yourself in that mission and that vision, it would be really difficult to stay in that organization.
Yeah, I love that. And then one of my favorite questions as we near the end of the episode that I love to ask our guests is, what would you say your favorite local businesses are to support?
Oh, I like this. And I'm glad you asked it now. So I do live in North Andover. And about a month ago, we had the most amount of rain in any Massachusetts community. We got over 8 inches in about 3 hours. And unfortunately, what it did is damage quite a few of our local businesses. So they might not be open now because they are rebuilding. But when the time comes, and I know they will open again, there's a phenomenal restaurant called Jamie's right on High Street. And then right next door, Good Day Cafe. And they are just phenomenal. And we're really hoping that they get back on their feet and that we can go back and have wonderful food there again.
Love it. Jess, this has been such a fantastic episode, and I've really loved having the opportunity to have you come on and talk more about Fit Money and the work that you do. And I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they can find you online in case they'd like to learn more.
Sure, Ashley, thanks for that opportunity. Again, we are at fitmoney.org. We have all of our services on that site. We have introduction to our games and obviously our wonderful donate button for anyone who does. And then I'm on LinkedIn, Jessica Pelletier, and a few other places on social. So we'd love for folks to follow us. Our social feeds at Fit Money are Learn Fit Money, and follow along and say hello.
Fabulous. And I'll link to those in the show notes so that way our listeners can click through and connect with you from there. But thank you so much again for coming on.
Thank you again so much. Nice to see you.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.